And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Son, hey, I'm trying to learn how to skateboard, okay? I want to hang out with you. Son, help me. Son, I'm just trying to shred. I don't mean no harm. I'm out of breath.
Good. Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, May 23rd. Happy Victoria Day to all of our Canadian fans. Hope you're enjoying a tasty Caesar out on the dock. Hey, I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Millis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy. Just gave him a moam. It's Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.
Thank you for the moam.
No problem. International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee, is that a new shirt?
Yes, it is.
That's nice.
Yes, it is. Really? Nice. I like it. I like the color. I like the fit. It's comfortable. Soft.
Did What's you get it for pocket? Free or did you actually buy it?
Not free. Discounted, though.
Smart man. And last, certainly not least, over yonder, it's super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube if you haven't done that already. What's wrong with you? Hit that like button. Leave your comments in the stream team. Leave them below the video if you're watching a little bit later. And share the show. That's important. And email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We'll be hitting the beach at some point this week, especially once this Western Conference Finals wraps up in four, maybe five. Are we getting a gentleman's sweep? Before we get to the game, though, I know you guys were just consuming a lot of sports this weekend. How was the sports? How are all the other sports in one word?
I just watched Flames Oilers.
Oh,
that was
it?
my only other sports.
No,
that was
no
depressing.
Baseball dabbling? I thought you maybe were into
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Alec Manoah pitched 8 innings. Took him out of the game. What's up with that?
Okay.
What's up with that? Let him go. He wanted to go. Just let him pitch. You know, in the NBA, we're all saying a coach might challenge a play because he's supporting his player.
Mm-hmm.
A manager in baseball should go against the numbers and say, just go out there, man. I support you, Alec Manoah. Go pitch the ninth inning because the numbers say, oh, I can't see a guy. I can't see a lineup a third time or whatever the hell they say. Anyway, let
okay,
him pitch.
So you did dabble a little
bit. And I'd rather talk about that rather than the Flames game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tough one. You need the puck to score, boys. That didn't happen, unfortunately.
So they're trailing here in the series, the Battle of Alberta?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2-1 to the Oilers. Okay. Mm,
miserable.
And what about
miserable
you?
Miserable game.
F1 race, I know you got no breaks coming up. What, tomorrow, I'm sure?
Tomorrow, was 1 p.m. Eastern, yep.
But it was a good race, and a lot of people were expecting maybe it would be a dull, boring one, but it was pretty entertaining, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very hot there, which ended up having a huge effect on the race, so a lot more exciting than anticipated. I started watching sports at 9 a.m. yesterday and finished at about 12 a.m. Eastern.
That's a lot of sports,
there was too many sports on. I watched 3 hockey games. I watched the PGA Championship.
Oh, wait. Your family's gone right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm 100% tapped into the schedules. Yeah. Mito Pereira. Tough one. Tough one. You know, he was leading until the 72nd hole. One stroke lead. Double bogey on 18. So we got, of course, the playoff between Justin Thomas and Will Zalortis.
It's okay. Zalatoris. Cam had money on both of them. So he
yeah, JT. Nobody expected it, but a little bit older than all the other young guys who were in the top five. They melted down, and he was able to keep it cool. He kept it cool out there. Yeah, he kept it cool, knocked in the putts.
Lightning Panthers, what time did that start?
That was like a 1:30. That was a 1:30 start.
Hockey at 1:30.
Oh, during the day.
Yeah.
What about you? You watch any sports? Any cricket going on?
No, not cricket, but soccer in England had the huge...
Oh, yeah.
What a climax the day was yesterday. Liverpool and Man City going into the last day. Both could win it.
Yeah.
Liverpool have to win. Man City basically have to just draw.
Yeah.
Man City's down at home 2-0. No, were they on the road or at home? I can't remember. Anyway, they were down 2-0.
This is why we don't talk about
that. Exactly. They scored 3 goals in like 10 minutes. Liverpool were tied 1-1, and then they scored. Mo Salah came on, scored. Liverpool were home, and then Man City came and stole it off them. So,
hey, what was going on with Leeds too? Were they trying to stay?
They were trying to stay up.
yeah.
Incredible.
And they scored in like the final minute.
They scored late to stay up, to survive.
That's pretty crazy, eh?
Like
you imagine that? Like our Raptors are like they got to win one game to just stay in the NBA. It's really insane when you think about it. And that's what happened. It is.
And then there's also races for European spots as well, like Champions League and Europa League and all these other sorts of things. It was crazy. But Liverpool has a chance this Saturday, Champions League final against Real Madrid in Paris.
Okay.
So they can still capture the biggest prize.
And what about the French Open? Anything?
First weekend. Yeah. They play on a Sunday. They start on a Sunday. Most tournaments start on a Monday. They start on a Sunday.
Osaka lost, I think. Did you see that?
The who?
Osaka.
Oh, Osaka. I did not see that. No. I thought you said the soccer lost.
Was it the soccer lost?
I guess if you're a Man City fan.
All right, there's all the sports. There's the update. Let's get into game three of the Western Conference Finals, though, last night. Wiggins and the Warriors dunk on the Mavs 109-100 for the 3-0 series lead. They call it a commanding lead, Tass. But they're right. Yeah, they are. I mean, we can debate whether this is going to be a gentleman sweep or a straight-up sweep, but let's talk about this game specifically.
Yeah, this was an interesting one because Kerr pulled out all the stops, all the zones, all the box and ones. But let's start with Andrew Wiggins because we started this series talking about Andrew Wiggins, how he took Luka Doncic one-on-one for most of this series. He had a 19-point game. Listen, he's been good this postseason, but this was a breakout performance in Game 3, his best game of his postseason career with 27 points. 27, okay, big number, but 18 of those in the restricted area. A guy we think about as loafing through basketball, scored 9 buckets in the restricted area, taking advantage of the space that Steph Curry provides because they're doubling Steph Curry out there. And a lot of those tip-in dunks, 6 boards on the offensive glass, just getting after it, 11 boards in total, and most importantly, making Luka work at the defensive end. Kind of a blessing in disguise, I think, that Gary Payton II went out in this series because the Warriors had no choice. Put Wiggins on Luka, and it's helped on both ends. Luka had a fantastic game, but Wiggins, I think, you know, had to be called upon a little bit, and he's looked at himself and said, all right, I'm going to have to step up. That's what he said after game one, just because Gary Payton II was out, and a career high in the postseason of 3 dunks. And let's just get to the biggie. Holy with 6 crap. Minutes left in the fourth quarter. Initially called an offensive foul because he threw a tiny little chicken wing at Luka and he flopped and was able to get the call. But an overturned monstrous jam. An overturned jam because Steve Kerr challenged it. I can't believe an overturned jam that's probably one of the top 10 biggest playoff dunks. I went through the biggest playoff dunks today. Obviously, you got monsters on Ewing, like Jordan and Pippen on Ewing, Sean Kemp, Tracy McGrady on Sean Bradley. There's huge ones.
Yeah.
But is this one bigger than Baron Davis's on Andre Kirilenko? I don't know. I mean, it's top 10-ish, and it was overturned, and it was amazing.
Yeah, what are they going to do with the Top Shot moment with this moment? Are they going to include like the, you know, the little green light going off when they go review it? What are they going to do there?
We need somebody to do some creative editing, I think. NBA Entertainment to go back in time and just eliminate the foul call, the review, and just somehow splice in the real ending, like George Lucas this thing, so that we think this is how it actually transpired. A huge dunk, perhaps an and one was called, but all we need to see is the dunk and the donk going down as well.
Yeah. And after the game, he said, wow, I wish I had those bunnies. Because Luka said that. The funny thing is, like, I'm obviously glad it was overturned. I'm a little surprised it was because he made contact. And sometimes, once there's any head contact, they just say, no, that wasn't offensive foul. It wasn't. Any reasonable fan knows that he didn't push off or anything in any way. Just saying that, and I think it was on the call as well, that Stan Van Gundy was like, I don't think they're going to overturn this.
Yeah, right.
They did, because I think the refs have also seen this in the past where, who was it who had that other massive jam? May have been Wiggins or someone else had a huge, Anthony Edwards it was, had a dunk, and they called it off, and everyone's like, you can't deny us that moment. Like, throw the rules out the window if a guy just crams.
Well, usually with
guy.
A monster poster dunk, the offensive foul is called on a guy trying to take out like a charge, right?
Right.
Like sliding under, and is it late, and is he there? Bang, bang. It's more rare to see this type of variety.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, he got called for like the tiniest little arm.
And you see Luca's head go back, and that's where I'm like, yeah, they're not going to overturn it. But I'm glad they did for the sanity of the league. But it still just sort of took a little bit out of the moment because we didn't have the non-stop eruption and the fans and the teammates pushing him around the court and stuff.
You get to
like
see
that
it a million times on replay. That's the one good thing.
But also, you know, the NBA is happy for their social aspect of it because it was the front page of NBA.com. It was on their Instagram and Twitter this morning, like Wiggins goes bang and all that, because if that gets called off, they can't put it up. So everyone was happy. But Wiggins, I mean, he's still a frustrating player because he has these sorts of games. And you talk about that one putback. I think the one you're referring to is the left-handed dunk swooping in like that. He has that athleticism to be able to do this more often. And this is a great matchup for him because there's no bigs in there for the Dallas Mavericks. That's another huge aspect of this game. Rebounds, particularly offensive rebounds, and second chance points. That's where I think the Mavericks really suffered here last night. And then they also, they live by the three, they die by the three, and more so, even bigger trouble for them is they stopped taking them. They started hesitating. Kleber, and look, Reggie Bullock was ice cold last night. Ooh. But your job is to shoot threes. You may as well empty the clip and go 0 for 15 if you're going to go 0 for 7. I think he finished in the end there. So the Mavericks kind of dug themselves into this hole like they did in game one where they couldn't hit those threes early, and then guys were like, I don't want to miss another one. So I'll hesitate a little bit there, and ultimately the Warriors, because the Warriors, I didn't think this was a good game overall. I thought it was a bit of a scrappy, ugly game. Yeah. And the Warriors themselves, it's not like they torched them themselves from downtown. I mean,
Mavs hit more threes than this.
Yeah, they went 11 for 32 here. The Warriors, Clay hit a huge, like on a missed free throw. They got a 3-pointer out of that, and he hit another couple there. But
Poole hit a timely one.
Poole hit basically the game sealer there. Talked a little trash to the fans afterwards, but this was a game the Mavs obviously could have gotten if they just shoot a little bit better and rebound the ball.
It was a 5-point game at one point. Yeah. I know it was.
Luka
like
did not stop making threes. No.
True. He was attacking. He was living at the free throw line as he has sort of all series. That's the thing. Like we are rightfully giving Wiggins a lot of credit for like the job he's done on Luka. And then you look at Luka's numbers and what he's still putting up. It's like, wow, that's the level he is on. And that's not to take anything away from Wiggins. He has been incredible because you can at least put one guy on him, and then Draymond can roam, and Clay, I don't think could do it at this point of his career coming back from the injury, so you almost need a Wiggins in this situation. But
you got to give a little credit to Steve Kerr as well, because they are not making it easy for Luka. They're making him think about everything. Like, anytime they want the switch for Curry or Poole, it's more of a hedge, right? And then Curry or Poole is kind of back to their guy, and then Luka's having to attach Wiggins, or you'll see a box in one just to make him think for just a little bit, or even a zone. Like, Steve Kerr and Draymond have both said, this is the most we've been switching defenses on the fly. And you can tell, even if it just takes like 3 seconds for Luka to be like, okay, now we got a box in one, suddenly the shot clock is down and he's probably going to have to get off the ball at some point. And it just has not been happening for Bullock and for Maxi Kleber, who has turned back into a pumpkin in this one. The two things that turned in Dallas's favor against the Suns that they were able to pull off the upset, three-point shooting and the possession game. Neither of those have been here for the Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals so far. Only 10 turnovers for Golden State yesterday.
Yeah.
That's incredible for them. Yeah.
Three in the second half, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dallas only turned the ball over 7 times. They all obviously do a good job of keeping track of it as well. But the worst the Warriors will ever look is when they're turning the ball over, 15 to 20 times a game. But for whatever reason, Dallas hasn't been able to make them feel them defensively.
Do you think this one is over on what would it be on Tuesday night there? Game 4 in Dallas? Or should we get our top hats out and our monocles and a cane maybe and get ready to tip some hats and call it gentlemanlike? What do you think?
Who the heck knows? I don't have a really good feel because it was a bit of a nasty game. But yeah, the Mavs, it sure feels like that season in the evolution of Luka Doncic where not everything is going right. He can't read every defense immediately, and things will get better as he progresses in his career and eventually wins a title. But it feels like it's year 4 and a Warriors defense that will throw out zone, and they're looking over to Mike Brown on the bench to give the signal, are we changing? What are we doing here? Because Dre said this is the first playoff run in the history of this dynasty that they've changed this much on the fly. And Luka's on the fly here too, having a defense like this changing every single possession. So who the heck knows? The Warriors just incredible. The zone defense, 17 possessions in this one, and the Mavs only scored on 5 of those possessions. They played a box in one where they had a rook, a 19-year-old rookie in Moses Moody, fronting Luka Doncic for 5 straight possessions there just to change it up, even if it wasn't the most successful thing. Kerr pulled out every single stop in this game. He knew that they couldn't let what happened to the Phoenix Suns last round, given the Mavs game 3 after going down 2-0, happened to the Warriors here. And so, yeah, Doncic was good in the end. You know, Kerr was still pissed at the end when Doncic hit that 3 that he just walked into because Steph didn't hedge on that one. Timeout, 1:45 left, lit Steph Curry, lit him up and said, "What the hell are you doing out there?" Every single time that the Mavs made a run, he called a timeout. And on the other side, J. Kidd changed from game 2 to game 3 where he didn't call a timeout. All game 2. And in game 3, he called 2 timeouts in the third quarter trying to get his team back on track. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Maxey couldn't hit a 3. I mean, that's a huge, huge swing with 0-5 from three-point land and Reggie 0-7 as well. Yeah, they're not snapping. Their offense isn't snapping and amazing. But, yeah, Luka continues to be good. 2 40-point games in 3 games so far this series. Yeah, just hasn't been phenomenal, Luka. But yeah, he's growing here. You know, we've seen it happen to LeBron. We've seen it happen to so many guys where a great defense will throw you off, and that's what's happening.
Let's talk a little bit about the superstar on the other team, on the winning team, Steph Curry, because we're obviously glossing over him because he just puts up 30 in every game and 11 assists, 5 boards last night, 5 threes, and he's going to be winning the first ever Magic Johnson Finals MVP.
I don't think it's a lock.
It's him or Kevon Looney.
It's a lock. Come on.
Oh, you could see the Iguodala. Wiggins is averaging 20 points and taking Luka on defense. You could see the Iguodala argument,
I guess.
Iguodala scored way less when he won Finals MVP.
Yes, but if you look at, like, literally the series stats for 3 games through Curry, I mean, he's 30, isn't he?
He's 27.
Yeah. Okay, he's 28, 28. Excuse me. 28, 8, and 7 on
he deserves
on pretty good
it.
Shooting percentages, too. 49, 48, and, an abysmal 82% at the line.
Yes.
But I'm just like... He is going to win it, I think. I mean, yeah, maybe that'll be... Like,
how are they voting
on this, by the way? Is there going to be a panel again, or like...
Probably.
Mysterious votes so we don't know who's even doing it?
Wiggins will get a vote of 9. Last, it's usually, what is it, 7?
I guess for the finals, it's 7 or 9, I don't know.
Anyways,
I don't know how
Curry's giving
it. Should just be Magic. He should just pick.
Yeah. That's oh, that'd be tough for Magic, though. Yeah. The following guys...
Every player would get, what about this guy?
Yeah.
You know, he would list 29 names and then give it to Steph Curry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, Curry's winning it. But what did you think of his game in this one and his series?
Overall, fantastic last night. Hit a couple of those dagger back-breaking threes as well. The one in the corner where I think he then tripped over the vendor on the way back there.
Yeah. We had a lot going on the sidelines.
And then he hit another one as well late there. The 31 points and the 11 assists. I mean, he's also averaging 8.5 rebounds a game, but that's mainly because there's so many loose rebounds out there, that the Mavs are just firing away and blanking on. He got in a little bit of foul trouble there last night, but again, not like the Mavericks didn't try to exploit that. That was one of their problems, is like, hey, Steph's in foul trouble. You may want to try to at least attack him, get him into the action and see if you can get him off the court. Because Jordan Poole went off at one point and then Steph Curry came on and Stan Van Gundy said, yeah, nice adjustment there from Steve Kerr. Even though he's in foul trouble, bring on Steph Curry. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Wiggins is standing out more because we haven't seen him elevate his game in a huge playoff moment like this. But Steph is the best player in this series and he's proving it every night and he's shooting his back. His playmaking is there. Turnovers are down 3 a game, that's an acceptable amount there for him. And it feels like Steph, he might miss a couple of shots early on, but he's got a couple of those still big ones in him.
What's funny with Curry in this series, it's like, usually with Steph, we're like, whenever he wants a 3, he can get a 3, right? Like, he can get whatever shot he wants because he'll pull up from 40 feet. But he's also in this series because there's no interior presence for the Mavs. It's like Curry at times is like, I guess I'll go to the rim now. I'll just get by my guys and score inside, or at least get a really good look inside. And he's continually driving and driving and driving and then having some of these beautiful finishes inside. I mean, that's overall, I think, what the Warriors are doing, Trey, where it's just like there's nobody in there that's going to scare them. And they are taking most of these guys off the dribble and getting into this inside. And it's sort of just been a bit of a layup line at times in the series.
Yeah, the Mavs have actually done a pretty decent job of guarding the three-point line, I think, against the Warriors. But you could tell, basically, second half of game 2, the adjustment was they're going to be trying to run us off the line. So go to the hoop. It's either going to be Kleba or maybe Powell in there, and that's not really a rim protector. It's the best that the Mavs have to offer, but... for Curry, for Poole, for Wiggins with his athleticism. It's not really an obstacle inside. So pretty smart from the Warriors to be like, yeah, we're a good three-point shooting team, but they're able to use the gravity of the three-point line to actually open things up inside and really look like the tougher team out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this one's over on Tuesday night? I know it is tough. Tess is right. Because who knows if the Mavs just splash 23 is one of these games. Like, we get a big Kleber game. We get a big Bullock game. But what do you think?
That could happen. But I think Steve Kerr is like, let's end this now.
It sounds like the Mavs are already waving the white flag.
Oh, well, Jason Kidd.
I mean, it's like they're a dynasty. You didn't expect us to be here.
If one more coach says no one believes in this and everyone picked against this, I'm going to fight them because two of us at the table picked the Mavs.
Yeah, that's right. You guys did. I mean, to win the series.
And they just beat the best team in the regular season in the Suns in a huge game. People believed in them. People have seen Luka Doncic. They think he can do magical things. So, you know, but it is very weird for a coach to say that when the series isn't over. If they get swept, then you know, there's a bit more there. But I think as Tass pointed out there, the moment where Doncic hit that three and he immediately caught a timeout about a minute and a half to go there is still Steve Kerr's mindset of like, let's not just, hey, we're going home anyway. Let's go home and get some rest because this Boston-Miami series, who knows how long that will go. They're going to be home court no matter what. So I think they want to get home and get rested as best they can. So I sort of fear that there is going to be a bit more of a ruthlessness there. And the Mavs, if those shots aren't dropping early on, this one could get ugly tomorrow night. Hope not. I would love to see a Reggie Bullock revenge game.
Sure.
Just hit one. Hit one. I'd like to see him hit one.
Yeah, he was coming up short, I feel like, a lot.
Ugly,
right?
Yeah. You could tell he didn't even want to shoot. And there was one late where
blame a guy at some point, though? He missed like eight or nine. I know he's a professional player, but like that gets in your head.
But that's a game where
I can't buy a bucket.
What's he on the court for then if he's not going to shoot? If I'm Jason Kidd, and it's
not
that,
everybody's Kobe, though, man.
It's that Dion Waiters quote. It's like, you may as well just go 0-10, 0-20. Doesn't really matter. It's like, God, man, you were so cold that night.
Kleber was doing it too. Reggie kept pointing at it. It's like he had a shot there because he had missed five in a row. And
that's how they beat the Suns, is hitting, just firing away. You're going to have nights, obviously, where people are cold and people are hot. But if you stop shooting, you're going to go zero on non-shots. If you at least shoot
zero, you
might actually make a shot. And at some point, they just are going to start dropping again. You see one drop, maybe another couple drop in. And that's the thing. I understand. But I think as well, you're sort of seeing just how dominant Luka and how good he was against the Suns to get them back from 2-0 and 3-2 and win that game. But then those other guys chipped in. When those other guys aren't hitting threes, Davis Bertans had a dunk last night, a drive.
Yeah.
That was the second field goal of the playoffs inside three that he's taken and made both of them.
100% inside.
Exactly.
He should drive more.
It just shows.
Put him in the middle of the zone offense or defense, excuse me.
But the point being that these guys literally don't do anything else other than the either threes are falling or they're not, and that's it. And you need to at least have some variety in your game.
Yeah, and they can't. Like right now with the Mavs, it's like, okay, Dinwiddie had a brutal game two. Then he has a good game three. Brunson's been pretty solid for the most part. But like they can't all, like what happened in that game three that you brought up, Trey, in the Suns series. That's when they all exploded. That was the game where everybody caught fire and the momentum sort of like carried on in that series. But like they're getting like Luka's dominant and then it's like Brunson's okay. And then it's like, it's maybe hit or miss on everybody. You can only get like one other guy showing up to the dinner reservation. We can't get a full table there. At least the Mavs can in these games.
86 points and 11 threes yesterday between Doncic, Brunson, and Dinwiddie. 14 points and 2 threes from the other seven guys that played out on the court. And like Lee said, that's what they're out there on the court to do. Bullock, just chuck him. Kleber, he's like, I'm taking 5 a game, no matter what. Exactly 5. Sometimes I'll make 1. But he shot 50% from 3 against the Mavs or against the Jazz and against the Suns. That's a huge difference. Luka had 10 potential assists last night. He finished with 3 actual assists. Mm-hmm. The Mavs were getting some wide open 3-pointers. They just have to make them.
Yeah, game 2 really hurt when they got 40 from Luka. Luka had 40, Brunson had 30. And Bullock had 20, and they couldn't win because they gave up 126 points. That hurts. I mean, you can't really expect much more out of 90 points out of those three guys, but 126 to 117 in that game. And then this game, they were cold for sure. And then they gave up a lot of second chance points. The Warriors were all over that glass, 18 second chance points. Really hurts when you look at the numbers, and everyone's learning. Kids learning as well. You don't let this Warriors team flow. And I think, he knows this series is over because game 2, he should have called those timeouts, I think. And in game 3, he did. And then there's the analysis. Some coaches call timeouts. Some coaches go Phil Jackson and just let the thing happen. I think if Phil Jackson was coaching today, he would call timeouts against this Warriors team. Because it's all about just flowing. And Kidd allowed that to happen in game two. And I think he changed in game three, and now he knows the series is over. It sure sounds like he thinks this is a best of five series, and they don't even have to play in game four. After this, after the game, he was just like, yeah, they're a dynasty. Yeah, they're good. Yeah. The reporter who asked Luka the question about what was your view on the Wiggins dunk? What was your view on the Wiggins dunk?
I don't know. His nutsack was getting close to my face.
From below, that's where my view was. But yeah, he answered it. I can't believe how nice he was about it. He's like, damn, that was amazing. I just watched it again. Phenomenal. Wish I had those bunnies.
Yep. There's a lot of respect between these two teams. Yeah. I don't think that there was in the Memphis Grizzlies series, but you can tell that the Warriors seem to respect the Mavericks a little bit more. Like, you're seeing Draymond lift Luka up off the ground.
Yeah.
Something is different for
sure. Jordan Poole and Luka had a little exchange too, where I think Luka thought Jordan sort of whacked him, and he's like, no, I did, man. It's all right, man. It's all right. Cool. Don't worry about it. Don't
worry, because even when Luka went after Juan Toscano-Anderson in that little brouhaha, Dre and Steph went up to Luka and basically were like, he's not trying to do whatever you think he's trying to do. Yeah, it was like a real, extinguishing of the situation there. You snuffed it out. They're playing hard.
Who had the better shimmy in Game 3 last night? Luka at the end of the first half, if I remember correctly, or Steph there when he was looking over at... was he looking at Reggie or Stan Van?
Of course he was looking at Reggie.
They were debating that on the broadcast. Which one was better, though, shimmy-wise?
Nah, the Steph one, because he came right up to the camera, I thought, there, Reggie trying to be humble like he was doing it to you. See if he was doing it to Steph. What's the connection? I mean, we all know that Reggie was Steph's favorite player. He overtook him for the three-point thing, he was there in New York when he did it as well. It's like, what would he do it to Stan Van Gundy?
He loves a shimmy. Everybody knows it.
Really strange. I thought Luka's shimmy itself was actually better because he went really arms out with it. Like, almost like, is that like Britney Spears? Like snake on your shoulder? That's what it felt like to me. But any other random notes from game three? Got anything written down?
Yeah, my favorite random note.
Go ahead.
Davis Bertans, Steph Curry, and I think Kevon Looney got mixed up underneath the basket, and Kevin Harlan hits us with a call. Bertans! Not a hair on his head moved! It never moves! His hair does not move.
It's true.
Second quarter, still a competitive game, and he went full on, this guy's hair does not move. It doesn't move. I'd never really thought about that. We've talked about the fact that Bertans has a unique haircut, for sure, but never... the fact that it's just like a Lego cap. It was great. He popped up from being in the skirmish there on the floor. Hair looked completely unflustered. Unruffled. Whatever you want to say.
Unruffled. Yeah. I love how Harlan knew that opportunity was his opportunity. The guy just drove. Harlan had planned this pregame.
I mean, it felt like he had a note written. He's like, if something happens, make sure you mention Bertans' hair.
Yeah, because he drove in. It was a foul. Didn't care about the foul. He just started talking. I love how he took that opportunity. It felt like one of us. Pre-planned line here on the notes. Oh, I'm using it, baby. Took that opportunity. Loved it.
When you got gold like that, you got to jam it
gotta
in
get
any
it
way
in.
You can.
Lego hat. I like that.
Lee, you got anything else from this game?
Not really, no. Just the vendor bender that we nearly had there from Steph.
Wait, did you come up with that? Or did you find that? That's good. Yeah, that's pretty
really good.
Do you have that written down in your notes?
No.
All right. You don't take notes. I know that.
It's all up here. And then I thought there was some sort of fan
protest.
Well,
there was an older woman apparently, I think, tripped or something. Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, because Kevin Harlan, I think, was sort of sitting on the side that she fell and he couldn't see.
He kept saying, I can't see. I cannot see. What's going on?
I know. Sometimes you wonder if that's a hot mic or not, and he's not sure.
He's telling the truck, get me a shot so I can see. And they were slow to get to it. I think they were scrambling to figure out what the hell was going on.
But I thought we might have had a glue girl situation there for a minute. This is the same thing last time. It was like, a fan fell over, and then all of a sudden the chaos
So what was that?
I believe it was just an older woman, because they did show her going to the tunnel point, and I think she just tripped on somebody coming back to her seat and then maybe hurt herself a little bit, and there was a bit of like, are you okay? I think that's all that happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why she's the okay. That's why the the Larry David Shaq meme started coming
out.
Yes,
that's exactly
right. Well, no, but that was also for the Steph one.
Yeah, that was, true. I mean, Well, the vendor was on a knee, though.
Yeah.
And the woman got a standing, well, not a standing ovation, but got a nice applause.
Yeah. She's okay.
She's okay. Good stuff. Okay. We're okay, too. Any other notes before we wrap this up?
Well, I think basketball-y, Luka getting into the lane, sometimes with this, in the postseason where there's going to be somebody who hits him, I'm surprised he hasn't resorted to his old, you know, stop and go to the fade a little bit more. Mm. I know he's very cognizant of everybody else flying at him. If he does go to the fade, like Dre will be there to swipe and somebody will be there to swipe. Maybe he's thinking a little too much in there. Maybe, you know, he had a 40-point game. He's phenomenal. But if they're going to win, he's going to need perfect execution. So I think that could be in his arsenal a little bit more in game four.
I just don't know what the Mavs do when the Warriors do go to his zone because they don't have anyone. You know, Luka has the ball, so it's not like somebody's usually to beat a zone. I mean, you're going to get shots from the corners at times. I mean, Kidd even talked about that with the box and one sort of zone defense. You can get corner looks. Mm. We're knocking them down. But a zone defense, you usually plop a guy in the middle, right at the free throw line, and you get them the ball, and then they can operate because they got a little bit of numbers.
Yeah.
You either have a shot there because you're open, or, you know, obviously they collapse, and then you kick out. But who is that on the... on the Mavs is the problem. You can't put Brunson there.
No.
He's too small. You're not putting really Dinwiddie there. I mean, you really would put Luka there, I guess, as your best option. Maybe it's something they try because I can't think of anybody else, Trey or you know, Lee, like that you would put at that spot.
It's got to be driving. They don't have the player who's going to be the distributor. Right. And that's the part of the problem is that Brunson, A, he passes up a lot of wide open three-point looks. That's a strange thing to me. He could take off the dribble ones. He could take catch and shoot ones. He would rather dribble and try and break down his guy. But like you're saying, he's pretty small. So when he gets into the middle of the zone, everybody there is going to be bigger, taking away the passing lanes. Dinwiddie, he just wants to get it and go. So it's kind of got to be on Luka once again to do everything. Get inside, find the shooters, or score over the top.
Any other notes? Sorry. Mm-mm. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say Brunson against the Jazz and then the Suns look so confident. He's really sort of hesitating a little bit more in this series. And I think if you do, I would go Dinwiddie because at least he is the one who's driving a bit more. Mm-hmm. But then you also want him out there shooting because he's probably their second best shooter.
Yeah.
So,
Well, at times. At times, he's hit or miss for sure. All right, we'll see what happens on Tuesday night, game four. We'll see if we get the sweep or we set up for a gentleman's sweep or, hey, maybe Dallas can do the impossible here. Did you guys know no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in NBA history?
Not in the NBA.
Nope, not in the NBA.
That's
hockey,
why we watch other
hockey,
sports.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's happened, hasn't it?
Has it happened in soccer? I guess not.
I'm not sure it can technically happen in soccer, but then again, I don't really know. Okay, we'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll play a little Is This News.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, back here with the boys in the Classic Factory. Let's play a little Is This News? Is This News? Headlines for you guys. You tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. First one, from The Athletic. Shams, specifically. Kenny Atkinson, Darvin Ham, Terry Stotts, finalists for Lakers head coaching vacancy. Lee, is this news?
It will be news if Darvin Ham gets his first official head coaching job. He's been an assistant for multiple teams over a decade or so. From all sort of reports and readings here, he's got a very good reputation amongst the players and the teams that he's coached for. Of course, part right now of the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm-hmm. He's also been a San Antonio Spurs assistant. So for me, I'm cheering, I'm pulling for Darvin Ham to get this, because I think when a guy's done that much time on the sidelines as an assistant, you've got to give a guy a chance. And I think, you know, now he is ready for that. And he's apparently in the lead, if you believe sort of, you know, what's being reported out there. However, I will say this. Going to a situation like Los Angeles right now, the Lakers, and has been for the last year or two, it could be very tough for him to have success. And so he could have only like a season or two. And if things don't turn around, he might find himself without a job. And I hope that he gets more time than that. But we know they're obviously in win now mode right now, the Lakers. They are expecting to be competing for a championship for at least the next year or two while LeBron is, you know, if he remains, which I expect him to do so. Even if he doesn't, they've got Anthony Davis, and they're not looking to just rebuild right now. They expect to win. So he's going to go in with a lot of pressure. So for a guy like Darvin Ham's first opportunity, if it is there, it's, you know, he's jumping straight into the hot seat. He's got no time to sort of cultivate his own locker room in that sense. Like, winning is expected from the start. So for a guy like Terry Stotts, who's been around and coached a lot, you know, for me, I would rather go with a new voice rather than just going someone like a retread. Kenny Atkinson had a very good time there in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. developing players, but I'm not sure if that's necessarily the right situation for him. I think he's more a grab a team that's on the rise and maybe he can turn them into something else. So I think it's going to come down to Darvin and Terry Stotts, and I hope Darvin gets a chance. I just hope he also gets the support of the front office ownership there, and he can sort of fight his way through the chaos and at least get his message across, because I think that's going to be a pretty tough environment to succeed in at the start.
Yeah, the Lakers might be trying to thread the needle here, though, because Lee's right. They still want to win a championship because you got LeBron, and if you have a healthy AD, you know, okay, maybe you're still sort of in the running, even if the rest of the roster leaves a lot to be desired. But then maybe Ham or Atkinson sort of leads you to believe that they're like looking long-term a little bit, maybe past the LeBron AD years, where it's more about development, setting the culture, and like moving into the future, right?
I think yeah,
there's
I'm
a little
with
bit
you.
Of both happening.
Yeah, that's why it feels like Stotts would be the answer amongst these three, because LeBron is still on the roster, Anthony Davis is still on the roster, Terry Stotts has had some incredible defenses with the Portland Trail Blazers. It feels like you want a name that's been around. If these are the names that are out there, that's who it seems like the fit to me. Of course, Darvin Ham deserves a job. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a Lakers assistant way back when. Sometimes you just don't remember who's an assistant. I'm looking at that Heat bench, and I recognize so many guys. Who are they? Chris Quinn, okay.
Chris Quinn, the medicine man, yes.
Crom Butler, of course. There's some other ones there. I know that guy, but I don't know that guy. Anyways, yeah, he's been with the Lakers, Hawks, and Bucks. He deserves a job, obviously. Kenny Atkinson obviously deserves a job. He did a great job with the Brooklyn Nets. But it seems like a guy who's been around and that LeBron and AD will look at and say, okay, this guy can take us to the promised land, would be the fit. I like the Juwan Howard news that Juwan Howard rejected the Lakers and said, I got my sons to coach here at Michigan. I got to go. No thank you, Lakers, but. Good choice, I guess, by Juwan Howard.
Trey, what do you think about these three finalists? Which one do you like more? Where do you go?
I hope these are the real finalists. How is Doc Rivers not in the mix here? Just because he hasn't interviewed yet? But, I mean, that's the question to me. None of these are huge names, like Tass is saying. Terry Stotts is probably the biggest name amongst these three. finalists. I would choose all of these guys over Doc. Personally, it just feels like that is a combustible mix if he were to be the guy in charge of the Lakers. I probably lean towards Darvin Ham. I assume that LeBron and AD would hope that it's similar to Ty Lue, taking his first coaching job and winning a championship right away. Also, you often see franchises go from like defense to a player-first kind of coach, which I assume Darvin Ham would be as a former player himself, because really all that matters is if LeBron and AD are healthy. That's how you end up looking like a good coach of the Lakers. So we'll see who they choose. I do hope it's Darvin Ham, though, because I think he would be the first NBA coach who can break a backboard, which is very cool. I don't think Daryl Dawkins ever got a head coaching job. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Mm. Yeah. Do you think Darvin Ham can still dunk?
I think so, yeah.
Dunkin' Darvin.
Yeah.
Yeah. A ham dunk.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear from everybody in the stream team. Who do you think is going to get this Lakers head coaching job? Is there another name that is maybe not reportedly in the running here? Where do you go if you're the Lakers front office? Okay, next one. Speaking of front offices, Woj had this one. Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor to meet with Tim Connolly in continued pursuit of the Nuggets president. They want Tim. In Minnesota, Trey, there's been a lot of smoke to this one. What do you think?
Love to get another Timbit here.
Yeah, nice.
I think this is actually sneaky big news, potentially, because Nuggets are in a really interesting spot. They've got the two-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. They should be one of the championship competitors next season, with Jamal Murray coming back, Michael Porter Jr. as well. But the clock is going to be ticking right away for whoever ends up leading their front office, because Jokic is eligible for a Supermax contract extension right now. He could be a free agent after next season, so that's something definitely to monitor. Like, is he signing on for the next 5 years of his prime right now, not knowing how the team's going to look next year, not knowing who is in charge? Going to be interesting to watch. Also, the Nuggets have a top five payroll for next year, so a lot of pressure in whoever ends up leading their front office. Then you look at the history of their front office. They lost Masai Ujiri to the Raptors. They lost Arturis Karnišević to the Bulls. Not an ideal time to then be losing the third GM or the third front office person who has completely built the contender that you're trying to win with right now. So the Nuggets are going to have to pay up to keep him, or they're going to have to find out somebody who can tinker around the edges and finish off a championship sort of scenario there for Denver. So that's a really, really tough spot for Denver, and honestly just a tough way that things have gone since basically the 2020 bubble, with Murray going down with injury, with Porter going down in injury. You're basically like losing two seasons of Jokic's prime, which obviously he's in his prime as the back-to-back MVP, and they didn't really have a chance to win the championship. Now he's coming up to a free agency year. I don't know. I do like to see the Timberwolves being aggressive, though. They're paying front office talent is a place where you should be aggressive, because there's no salary cap there. So go for it. They've got Towns. They've got Edwards. They've got a little bit of momentum going right now. So at least go for it. Shout out to A-Rod. He's trying to make this a futuristic organization.
Yeah, it's this new ownership, I think, coming into Minnesota saying, what's it cost? Give us the best. Let's try and go get the best. Who can we get? And then so they're obviously looking at Tim Connolly, and we'll find out. He did turn down, I forgot this, Woj had in his article, that Tim Connolly was like heavily recruited by the Washington Wizards like 3 years ago, and like, come work for us, save our franchise. And he turned that down to stay in Denver and stay in the front office there. But what do you think?
Well, I think the Denver Nuggets have a pretty good history of getting some good front office talent. You mentioned Masai Ujiri there and Karnišević. Karnišević has had great success, and so has Masai Ujiri. So if that translates and Tim Connolly can bring that to Minnesota, this will be huge. Mm-hmm. And Denver, apparently, I think a lot of us do it. They just don't want to pay guys. When it becomes a bidding war, they're like, go somewhere else. We'll figure it out. So it's worked okay for them. They've still got a very good team.
Got a good farm system.
Yeah, but at some point, I mean, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the other guys who have been recruited have been successful. They've obviously got good staff in there. They don't want to just keep letting them go. So, you know, I think continuity is very important from the front office down. So this would be huge, I think, if the Wolves can get him and Tim Connolly can have similar success that he's had there in Denver.
Anything to add to this?
Well, I like Tim Connolly's mindset. I've already made my moves here in Denver. Everybody's signed for next year. I'll just go somewhere else to play. I mean, I got all my long-term guys here. I signed Michael Porter Jr. I signed Jamal Murray. I signed Jokic. I signed Aaron Gordon. I'm done. I'll go have some fun somewhere else. $110 million, locked up next season. And then the Jokic question for the future. Yeah, it's a huge one. But, good luck to him. Obviously, a guy who bought into the players that he had there with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter and the long-term deals, even though they're injured. And hopefully it works out there in Denver. Hopefully those guys get back because, That's an MVP right there. He needs a supporting cast.
Final headline here. NBA.com. Wanted to show him some love because he had a rough game three. But Dallas's Reggie Bullock was named winner of the 2022 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. And this annual award recognizes a current NBA player for pursuing social justice and upholding the NBA's values of equality, respect, and inclusion. After Reggie's sister, Mia Henderson, a transgender woman, was murdered in 2014, Bullock, he basically dedicated his life off of the court to honoring her legacy and fighting for increased visibility and acceptance for the LGBTQ plus community. So there's a cool little video going around of Kareem jumping on and talking to him and then giving him the award. It was a different award than the other ones, the crystal ball ones. It was a crystal ball, but it had like a hand reaching up and holding it high in the air. So congrats to Reggie Bullock again. I was really rooting for him to have a good game last night on the heels of this. Like, that would have been really sweet. And of course, he struggled. But the other four finalists, too, were Jrue Holiday, Jaren Jackson Jr., Karl Anthony Towns, and Fred VanVleet. And all of them getting a little bit of money to the charity of their choice. But Reggie getting the most. And I don't think this is surprising to a lot of people that are really in the thick of things and sort of following the league and what these guys do off the floor.
No, and it just shows you, you know, what happens on the court doesn't mean anything when he has to deal with something like this in his private life. And he's able to at least, you know, give something to the community there and hope that it doesn't happen to any others. So well done, Reggie.
Yes. And again, check that clip. I think Dallas Mavericks tweeted it with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar jumping on there and talking to him as they gave it to him in the locker room. Okay, let's turn our attention to Game 4 tonight of the Eastern Conference Finals. You can weigh in on what you thought about Game 3, and also, what are you watching for here in Game 4 tonight? Lee, get it started.
Well, I'll start with Game 3. Bam Adebayo, I thought, was just brilliant. He had been a little bit quiet so far in the series, completely, utterly dominant in this one. 15 for 22 from the field, 31 points in the 10 rebounds and 6 assists. I mean, he was just incredible, considering for the Heat, Jimmy Butler missed the second half. His status for tonight, I think, is still questionable. I haven't seen it.
Sounds like he's going to go. Yeah, but there's a lot of guys on this injury, you know, report here.
I know for the Celtics as well there. But Kyle Lowry came back, and I think you could see the impact he has on that team in transition straight away here. But this one is one that the Celtics look back at, and I think turnovers in that fourth quarter, especially Tatum and Brown, just some awful turnovers. They've got to take care of the ball better. Weren't able. They got this back to a one-point game.
Yeah.
They weren't able. Then it was Max Strus hit just an incredible bomb. And then Bam hit like a shot himself where the shot clock ran down. Like, wild stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but the Celtics, this is a game they should have won. They were down early. They never led this game. Down double digits. And they were sloppy with the ball. They were careless with it. Jason Tatum had a brutal game himself in general. But those turnovers in the fourth quarter, they cost them. So they have got to take far better care of the ball. 23 turnovers to 8 for the entire game here for the Celtics. They'd stolen home court advantage. Jimmy Butler goes down. This is the series right here could have swung to Boston's favor, where they could be like, they could be the ones going in with a chance to go up 3-1 against the beaten up maybe Heat team instead. Now they've got it's a must win for them tonight, which is pretty crazy how quickly things can turn. Marcus Smart, we had two Larry Bird, Willis Reed moments in this game. Marcus Smart with the ankle, he was down. It looked awful.
It looked brutal.
And then he came back out, trotting out. And then Jason Tatum as well went down and he came trotting out again. So the fans were up, but they lost. They lost badly. Huge win for Miami. A very impressive stuff considering what we saw in Game 2, considering the injuries, as I mentioned, and this was on the road. And Bam seemed to embrace the moment where he's like, all right, I've got to go out there and deliver, and he did.
Well, he was helped out that there was no Robert Williams playing in this game, who has done a great job of bottling him up. But he was unlocked in Game 3, Bam was. What are you watching for tonight specifically, though?
Well, to see if the Heat carry over what was the closest to the bubble Heat I think we've seen, where the bubble Heat were just sharing the ball, everybody moving off ball. I think there were some adjustments there for Tyler Hero to move off ball, even though he didn't have a great night. But, you know, Jimmy Butler only had 8 points at half, and the Heat had 62. And that's just a signal that the Heat are looking their best right here, right now. That being said, I think it's still a question whether or not they can score enough points, because this was a one-point game down in the last few minutes, and Miami attempted 22 more shots than Boston. So I think Boston can take that going into Game 4 and say, we shot a better percentage than them. We hit more threes than them. We went to the free throw line way more. And if we just keep the ball a little bit, we can win this game. So, yeah, can the Heat keep this up while the Celtics, let's not let's not give the puck away like we're the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers. Let's hold on to this thing.
Ball control, it's big. 19 live ball turnovers for the Celtics there in Game 3, and it's just a bad cycle for them because that becomes easy offense for the Heat. They score, gives them a chance to set their defense. Guess what? We're forcing another turnover going back the other way. And bam, you know, part of it I think is personnel, both with Robert Williams being out and with Butler being out, but you could even tell from the beginning of the game. Ugh. He just had the mindset like, I've been slacking here for two games. He must have gotten yelled at quite a bit by several of the Miami Heat. We're going to fight you if you don't start going out there and have a little bit of fight. But he was bringing the ball up. He was basically their point guard. You know, Lowry was doing a great job of getting the ball to Bam in transition. When he would have a mismatch in the post, it wasn't like sit around, wait for some cutters, see if somebody pops open for three. It was, I'm going to get my shoulder into you and score at the rim. So if he's able to go out there and just decide to do it, that's huge for Miami as well. Also, I would love like an umpire pitch counter to count how many players fall on the ground. It's honestly insane. Yeah. The Celtics, we know, they are big-time floppers, as are the Miami Heat. Both teams have elite floppers in Kyle Lowry and Marcus Smart. But it's even like, you know, I feel like the Celtics will flop for a foul call while the Heat are doing it at the exact same time because they all have the Dwayne Wade way of landing on the ground. Like, they don't want to get hurt rolling ankles when they land on the ground, so they just land and kind of slide into the sidelines. My guess is that it'll be over 50 times a player falls in this game. So I might have to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get a
nice keep track tonight. A little clicker there.
It's insane.
I think I still got mine. The problem with the baseball ones, I mean, you can get a pitch count one for sure. Like those metal ones, like a bouncer sitting at the front at the front of a bar or anybody just counting how many people go in. That's the one you need. That's because the umpire one just goes up to four.
good point. Just has a walk.
You need a pitch count. They're falling, and you're right. Like they're trying to not get injured. Like Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is just falling because he just wants to fall away from the play and not, you know, hit ankles or himself get hit. There's bodies on the flow for sure.
NBA.com front page. Okay, they had this written. I want to get your take on it. I was a little taken back by it. After a subpar performance in Game 3, Jason Tatum's reputation is on the line as the Celtics look to pull even with the Heat. This is on NBA.com. This ain't Ballsack Sports here.
Wow.
I was like, what? His reputation on the line? I mean, I get he had a brutal game. Tucker was all over him. I mean, he was turning the ball over, as we talked about. So was Jalen Brown, who maybe had the best 40-point game. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, the worst 40-point game of all time with all the turnovers. Oladipo just, I'll take that. But, yeah, Tatum. What, I mean, should we expect a monster game from him? Because he usually bounces back.
Well, he is an all super elite talent. So, yes, I think most of the time those guys don't tend to have two or three bad ones in a row. He'll come back. His turnovers, though, have been at times costly in the playoffs. Yeah. But I've seen enough from him to think that the stinker was just a stinker from him shooting the ball offensively, couldn't get going. Look, he's carried the Celtics at times as well. So maybe that's starting to catch up with him a little bit, but I don't think his reputation is on the line tonight. No.
I know. I thought that was a little aggressive there from NBA.com.
Well, I don't know. If PJ Tucker keeps out playing him, I got to say that PJ is a top five player in the NBA right now, one of the top 10 that's left in the playoffs. Tucker's had him in jail. There's no doubt about that. He's making it tough on him, and then the rest of the Heat are there for help. So I don't know. Tatum just got to make quicker decisions to me. He looks his best when he's like, I don't really need the ball because it'll find its way back to him eventually. He does just trying to do too much is what Tatum's been doing.
Yeah, is NBA.com going the way of AP? Because Associated Press is getting a little clickbaity at times.
Oh, jeez.
Well, they are, the Associated Press. I don't know, maybe NBA.com. We need Schumann on the show to give us the lowdown. What's going on with... Was that just a headline?
It was like a... It wasn't the actual main headline. Yeah. It was, what do you call it? The subline? Yeah, basically a subheadline.
Yeah, I suppose I don't know what the article was. Maybe the headline maker.
I think it was things to watch for, maybe in Game 4.
Oh, yeah, well, that sounds like just the person making the headlines.
Yeah,
yeah, looking for the clicks.
Hey, it got me looking at it. Got me talking about it. Reputation. Tucker's been awesome on him, and Tatum had some weird turnovers.
Oh, yeah,
like Jalen Brown's turnovers were weird, and you were tweeting about it. I saw like Oladipo was that was wild, and I thought those officials in Game 3. They were definitely letting them be physical. Like you can hit, you can reach a little bit. Like you guys can play aggressive here tonight. And obviously the Heat were like, yes, we love to play that way. Awesome. I thought the Celtics were a little shook, but the Tatum ones, I remember him throwing the ball to Caleb Martin at the free throw. I was like,
That was when a double came, I think, but it was still a sloppy pass. And a couple of cross quarters as well that are just like, I would get killed in under 12s for trying to throw a cross quarter.
Dickie would be all over you.
So come on, make the simple one, make the safe one. You don't need to throw it from this guy to that guy. You've got to just throw it back to the guy you can make it to, you know? Yeah. But again, if you are, you're going to throw him like that, put a little bit of mustard on him, you know? Jason Tatum was just lobbing him like that. Oladipo, he was ready hands-wise there and reading the lanes, and he was great.
Yeah. So we'll see. This has been a weird series too, right? Because Heat went up big in game one. Mm-hmm. Celtics go up big in game two. Heat go up big in game three. Now Celtics got back into that one. It was a 1-point game late. Or not even that late. There was a lot of time left. It'll be interesting to see. Hey, Heat, be ready for the Celtics to come out hot tonight. You know, play with some force. Because this series says that the team trailing, for the most part, or the team in the tough spot, is going to come out and try and punch first. So we'll see what type of game we get. Who's winning this one if you had to make a prediction?
I got the Celtics.
Celtics tying it up 2-2? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think? Beantown Boys tonight?
Yeah, I'm with the Beantown Boys. Like I said, I was watching the PGA Tour yesterday, and at one point, I have no idea who was on the broadcast. Somebody said, this is a crucial putt. And the guy who was doing color commentary said, crucial is a good word. That's all he said. I think this is a crucial game for game four. I think that's what you got to call it, because it ain't a pivotal game.
No.
But the Celtics absolutely need to win this one. And they've been super resilient this year. So I think they're coming up big in a crucial game for him.
Golf
is tough. Golf is tough for commentary.
Crucial because it's a good word.
Yeah. Crucial is a good word because there's so much airtime in golf. What are you supposed to say other than just put it in the hole, dude? You know?
There is a lot of airtime, but they also do... I mean, I didn't watch any of this, but I've seen, obviously, like the Masters and stuff like that. So much bouncing around, right? Because it's like to shot, to shot, to shot, to hole, to hole, to hole. And I love how they pass it off. Like, Lee and I would be talking about this putt, and then we're like, all right, let's go over to Tass and Trey over on the 13th. What do you guys got? Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of... the producing of that would be quite impressive.
Spieth? Yeah. Spieth did it?
Thomas.
Is that his name?
Thomas. Justin Thomas.
JT. Oh. Who knows?
Yeah, Spieth was... I think he had a Spieth-y sort of
round. Hey, was it cold where they were playing? Like, cold in air quotes? I saw a guy wearing, like, literally giant mittens.
Yeah,
like,
I think...
oven mitts.
There was a lot of wind. I know that the weather was really up and down. If I were to tell you that the PGA Championship took place at Southern Hills Country Club...
Where is
what
that?
What state would you think?
Right here in the state of Georgia.
New York, I guess. I don't know.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The South.
Yeah. Okay, so it was chilly or windy?
It was chilly or windy.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely breezy.
I saw some giant gloves out there while they were walking between holes. Mm. That's the only thing I saw. Okay, these guys are staying in Boston. What do you got tonight?
I hope it's Boston. Yeah, okay. So we got a series. Because otherwise, he could have a chance to close it out on Wednesday night here. So.
And they don't bump up the finals, do they?
No.
Like, will we just be sitting here for weeks talking about other sports? Is that what we're doing?
That's right.
Jeez. All right. Go Beantown Boys. Yeah. Get us a series here. Let's take our final break when we come back. Very interesting tweet of the night and some news related to it. Don't go anywhere.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Chief Keith Robinson, his nephew, I think, plays for
Miles.
The national team, the U.S. national soccer team. Yeah, Miles, that's right, Miles Robinson. Mm-hmm. And he played for Atlanta United. I think he still does as well. I think he's injured right now.
I think he got injured. Yeah,
he did.
It's unfortunate.
He's a great defenseman, though. Sports, guys. Okay. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow. Twitter.
So, tweet of the night, it's actually a video, a little sound on tape for everybody out there, and it's from at GIFDSports, who tweeted along with the video, which we'll play in a second, ref awkwardly asks Theo Pinson to change his shirt. Pinson doesn't do it. LOL. Here's the clip.
Do me a favor. Is this a crazy? Can you change your color shirt?
Yes.
Thank you. Will you?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's the same color as them and you're going to be in the way. If you could do that for me. Yeah. I'd even buy it for you.
All right. You buy it for me.
It don't match. This don't match anyway.
You buy it for me, I'll do it.
I got you. You give it to me, send me the bill.
Send me the bill. Mm. And as you saw there, when they went to the box and box or whatever the heck it's called, box and box.
Box and box.
You know what I'm talking about. The Theo Pinson didn't change his shirt and he kept with the white because that's what the Warriors were wearing. And it worked in game two where I think it was Curry passed it over to the Mavericks bench because he's, that guy's in a white shirt. That must be one of my teammates. And whoops, nope. But weird here because there's like a bunch of fines that Mavericks are occurring because of bench decorum violations here because they're just standing, they're encroaching on the court.
Yeah.
I guess they're wearing white t-shirts. It's sort of crazy.
Yeah, and Adam Silver was in the audience there last night. Apparently Tim Hardaway and Theo Pinson sort of walked over to sort of be seen by him, and Adam Silver kind of smirked and smiled and enjoyed the laughter because he just fined them $100,000 for doing a little bit too much. But as far as the wearing the white shirt, I mean, if he is standing there and it is distracting, you can see how they could say, all right, you got to change that. If you're standing on the side where the team in the white is on the sidelines, that is probably distracting.
Yeah, I think Pinson seemed to think that Mark Davis was joking there too, right? Like,
definitely.
He was simply disregarding him. Yeah, he was like, really?
Well, he wasn't being serious, was he? Because he didn't say, go change your shirt. This is a person of authority. This is the guy calling the game, and he didn't demand it. He just kind of said, will you change it for me?
Well, right, because like, I don't think he can technically demand the man to change his shirt, but I think he can imply that you probably should, or you're probably going to get another fine. You guys are headed that way. Like, they're going to get another fine.
Yep.
They didn't change anything from any of these games.
Nope.
So, and not that Cuban cares. I mean, they talk
he's
about...
He's right there with them.
Yeah, he's basically like, we'll give money to charity. What do I care? We're going to cheer for our team.
These guys are on the court. They're on the court.
Yeah. Also, you're down 3-0 in the series. Maybe switch some things up here. Maybe...
no shirts.
Maybe sit down. Yeah, something. Yeah.
Don't
something.
Cheer.
It's not working. Your cheering is not working right now. But what do you make of all this?
I think this is a Jason Kidd call to do this. To have the bench standing, to have similar colored shirts to your opponent. He's tried some funny things on the sideline in the past. And, I mean, obviously Cuban is like, you're fining us $175,000 total. I'll keep doing it. I'll wear a Mavs football jersey. I don't care.
Right, right.
So I think it's going to keep happening. And I don't have a problem with it. It's super weird. It feels very like a high school team yelling 3-2-1 when there's 8 seconds left on the court. But it seems to only be messing with the Mavericks more so than the Warriors. Like, one pass has happened. It doesn't feel to me like the Warriors are really complaining about this.
No.
But I don't know. It's very funny. I think that Theo Pinson should have made Mark Davis buy him a shirt.
Yeah,
he should buy me a shirt. I'm going to go pick up the most expensive thing up there and then pick up buy a white one anyways.
Hey, here's what Pinson should do for game four. Show up in a referee shirt. See how they deal with it. You gotta keep going.
Yeah.
If you're gonna troll hard.
Yeah, nice.
Take it to the next level. So we'll see what they do or Pinson does in game four. Yeah. I honestly feel like a part of this was my fault. Do you remember like a few weeks ago I brought up like, hey, whatever happened to the rule about like you weren't supposed to be standing on the sidelines? You guys remember I said that here on the show because I was like,
legitimately skeets over here.
Well, I was like, I was just more like, what happened to that? Like, is that a thing? I guess it's not anymore. And then this happened to feel like a week or two later. I was like, oh,
Mark Cuban might send you an invoice then.
I know.
You owe us $10,000.
Well, there are like. And, like, I don't really care, but there are, like, have you seen photos of people sitting, obviously, in the corner behind the Mavericks bench?
Yeah.
You can't see shit.
Yeah.
Like, Boban is standing.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, that happened with Taco Fall, too, in the Boston game. There was someone behind him.
He was sitting down.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a difference. Yeah. But, and that's what, like, I want to point out, that's what I was questioning. Not, like, really the color of your shirt and stuff like that. Or even standing when something big happens. I just, like, I was like, can you stand the whole game now? Because that used to be a rule that you couldn't. But
see, that's
I thought
why
it was for people.
That's why I think they're getting fined, not the shirts.
Yeah.
The fact that they're like a toe from being on the court. They're right there during the Davis Bertans, Damian Lee, little brouhaha in game two. They were on top of Damian Lee.
Yeah. But they never sit down. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, benches do that all the time, right? They pop up. They're obviously cheering. They're, like, close to the play at times. But they just – the Mavericks refuse to literally even sit down, it feels like, four or five of those guys. Which is – I mean, they don't care. If they're going to get fined, they're going to get fined.
Yeah, Steve Kerr's not taking the bait, though. As Trey said, they haven't complained about it once. Steve Kerr said, I love it. I like it. That's good. It's good that they're cheering. They're – yeah, they're not – they're not feeding it.
Right.
Although
right.
I love the kid gamesmanship. It's definitely
that's funny.
It feels like a kid idea.
Do you think Kid planted that the vendor bender, as you called it, on the other side? He's done that with drinks before. Yeah, maybe well, that. I hadn't even thought about that.
I saw that one going around last night where you who was that? Someone bumped into
him. Tyshawn Taylor. Taylor.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe he's going Galaxy Brain right now. He's like, I need to have something here to mix it up. But didn't work. So what's he going to do in game 4?
I was going to say, what could be the next kid move here to like at least try and rattle the Warriors? Has anybody got anything?
Maybe. I think they should. I mean, it's all about bench decorum. They're trying to avoid a gentleman's sweep, so they got to show up. They're the ones who have to show up in tuxedos and top hats.
Yes.
But, I mean, then you're running into a problem. I mean, Boban in a top hat.
Oh, my God.
He's covering up the past, like, 10 rows. Like, right now it's 5 rows. The 10 rows behind him won't be able to see.
The upper bowl won't be able to see.
Yeah. Exactly right.
All right, we'll see what Kid has up his sleeve.
Want some decorum?
Monocles and top hats and tails.
Tonight I'm watching. LL Cool J was in Boston for game 3.
Yeah.
Antoine Walker, always there.
Yeah.
I'm watching for the stars. LL Cool J had a great seat right behind Eric
Why
Spoelstra.
Wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah, because he's LL Cool J. I don't. Yeah, it's not surprising.
Oh,
you don't see LL at many basketball games.
In attendance last night, Trey helped me out. I always forget the guy's name. He's like a really prominent streamer, Dr.
Disrespect.
What's his name? Dr. Disrespect. Yes, that's right. He's in the full like tactical gear, red, and he's got the crazy glasses and wig.
Looks like
I guess
a super trooper to me.
Yeah.
He was being accused of. I think people were saying it was him who tripped over Steph because he tweeted. He said, "I didn't."
It was right by him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he a real doctor? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I'll have to ask. Okay, let's call it there. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunks. And get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks and get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Those Nuggets and Grizzlies jerseys, they're right around the corner. I think this week they're coming. So be ready for those instant classics. But we'll let you know when they go live. All right. Till tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, not sure what the Mavs come up with their galaxy brain, but our own galaxy brain, JD, I believe he muted Lee's mic earlier this show because Lee had a bad joke coming. It was a galaxy brain moment. I don't want to call you out here, JD. It's probably the wrong time here at the end of the show, but Lee's mic was off for his
his Matt Moore joke.
No one heard it. No
the reason
one
it was
no
off
heard
is
it.
He was literally coughing up a lung or blowing a huge booga.
Just had to step away for a second.
Yeah. So let's take this opportunity to hear the joke because your mic was off.
Yeah. Well, you said something about Moore.
Sure.
And I said, let's call you Matt because you like Moore.
Yeah. I liked it more the second time. All right, guys. Embrace the day, people.